Good afternoon. I'm Florence Schwein, your host for today's El Paso Primetime, and El Paso fitness and nutrition professional, Patrick Hopkins, is with me to talk about holiday meals. Patrick holds a BS in nutritional science from California Polytech State University, and as a personal trainer, he emphasizes eating well and exercising smartly. Holidays are special social times, and of course that means lots of wonderful foods. Some people I know actually try to lose a few pounds before the holidays or before going on vacation or even a cruise as a hedge against all those calories. Patrick, good strategy or bad?
Okay, so my understanding is, and I know exactly what you're saying, so if I can put it in different terms, let's try and lose some weight so that we can just gain more weight, so we can be a little bit more flagrant in our eating during,
so we
during
can
our holiday time.
Just really
let go,
let go.
Loose.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds a little bit like roller coastering to me, roller coaster dieting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's binge and then purge.
Yeah.
Or purge and then binge.
So there's not a real good sense in that, is there?
I think that it's a great idea, provided that the strategies that you adopted prior to the big binging are still set in place after the binging.
Well, you know, people do sign up for all kinds of exercise programs and whatever come January 1st.
It is the biggest time of the year for any fitness environment, yes.
So,
yeah.
Okay. Now that we've gotten that out of the way, that's not really what we should be doing. We should be thinking nutrition and exercise all of the time. And getting on with life. So let's talk about a menu for holidays and go from there and helping us to make good choices and not feel deprived. And I think, you know, the feeling of being deprived is the thing. You don't want to not be with the group or whatever.
Or not eat that particular food that has been so rooted in tradition in the family.
Right.
Right.
So how about ham with pineapple slices and brown sugar glazes or a turkey basted with apple cider?
Well, I would obviously choose the latter, the turkey basted with apple cider. You know, just how much of that pineapple slices and brown sugar is actually going to migrate into the turkey during the cooking process? I'm not sure. How much of the flavor is going to be maintained? How much of the other foods are going to be on your plate to introduce different flavors to the turkey in the first place? Those are all great questions. And I think the idea really is rooted in portion control, for one.
Aha, uh-huh. That's a biggie.
Huge, huge. And also realizing that there are so many different flavors that we will have on our plates. I think, and there are so many specialized foods and a lot of high-fat foods, high-sugar foods. It's probably one of the times of the year that we would probably avoid the rest of the time of the year. It's a special time, mm-hmm. but I think there's still very much a need to be nutritionally conscious. Mm-hmm. And if you can reduce your caloric intake, your fat intake, your sodium intake in the course of all this, aren't you going to feel a lot better about how you're eating? You know, you can still indulge.
Yeah, you still have to live with yourself, don't you?
You still have to live with yourself. And I think that you can live with yourself and yet still accomplish the feeling of being happy with what you've consumed and still be a part of the process and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm. So, well, let's just go on down this list. How about stuffing for the turkey? First of all, in a baking dish or in the bird itself?
I would prefer, personally, I like it in the baking dish, for one, because the bird cooks a lot faster.
I do, too.
I have a lot more control over what the end product is going to be like because mm-hmm. so much of the fat from the bird is going to migrate into the stuffing during mm-hmm. the cooking process, if, in fact, it's stuffed. I would always go as a side dish.
Mm-hmm. I can't take all that time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I mean, typically it adds, at least another hour?
Oh, even more than that, yeah. Sometimes, depending on how big the bird is.
Right, exactly.
And so, You know, I would put it in a baking dish. And actually, I use chicken broth or something to flavor it. I don't use butter.
Yeah, and that's a great idea. You know, so many people, I think, are so rooted in the norm. And this is the way I've always done it, so I'm not going to break tradition. And I think, you know, we as Americans, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
We need to make some change, and change is sacrifice also.
But you can't tell the difference. I've never had anybody say to me, hey, this stuffing isn't, you know.
And that's kind of what I'm getting around to, is that people don't step out of their box and they don't try alternative means for increasing their nutritional awareness, increasing their food preferences, changing the way that they eat to be more healthful. When you're right, I mean, would you really, in the grand scheme of things, notice the difference if you used half the fat in your stuffing as you normally do, half the butter? I bet you no one would ever know.
No.
But no one's, I shouldn't say no one, most people are not willing to even make that attempt. And that's a shame. That really is a shame.
But there are all sorts of recipes out there to pull from and look at.
You're right. And what we're plagued with on that is, this is the way I've always done it, so I'm going to do it this way, and I'm not going to go towards someone else's. This is my family's recipe, so I'm going to stay with my family's recipe. Well, you know.
Sometimes you can redo a family recipe and bring it down to where it's more nutritional and has less fat, less salt, whatever.
You know, my mindset in this is we are at a stage right now in America where we can't afford not to make some change.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I think it is, we are in dire straits, and at a time of the year when we consume so many calories, unnecessary calories, fat calories, where people are being preemptive in losing weight so they can only gain it back. I think that if we can make some small baby steps towards changing the way that we consume in that time of the year, I think that would be a great start in the right direction.
Okay, Patrick. So if I have less fat in my dressing and in lots of other things, I might be able to have a chocolate on that day.
Absolutely. And feel good about it.
Yeah.
Instead of not changing all that fat and then still having the chocolate.
Oh. Well,
so there still is a net loss. In the end, there's still a net loss. There's still a net reduction in fat intake.
I can negotiate with myself a little
bit. Yeah.
Okay. How about mashed potatoes and gravy? Or yams.
It's a staple. You got to have it.
I'm not asking
people to completely revamp Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. Mm-hmm. However, there are different ways that we can change the way that we consume, or different types of potatoes, the different types of dressings, or the different types of gravies that we consume to make it more healthful.
Yeah.
Sure.
If you are just joining us, I'm Florence Schwein, and my guest is nutritionist and personal trainer Patrick Hopkins, and we are discussing holiday meal planning and eating choices. Please remember that this adventure is a challenge for educational purposes only and not an endorsement of any particular product. I know part of our Thanksgiving tradition, or Christmas too, is that green bean casserole that you put mushroom soup in and fried onion rings.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe fewer onion rings and use one of those low sodium soups.
Yes, absolutely. Well, not only that, but there's low fat and low sodium on the cream of mushroom soup. There's we were talking about Campbell's earlier. Mm-hmm. They make a 98% fat-free cream of mushroom soup.
Mm-hmm.
And they also, I think it also comes in low sodium varieties at
right,
the same
time. Right, it does.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a great choice. Great choice. And I could be wrong, but I could have sworn that the last time that I made this for my family, I saw a light variety of the onions.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, see, I haven't seen that, but
I could be wrong. Mm-hmm. That could just be my wishful thinking coming out. But, yeah, use less.
Yeah, just use a little less of that.
You know, there are times that instead of just – do you actually mix those onions in with
the – No, put them on top.
You put them on top. So
– because, you know, that makes less.
It makes less. You're right. But also, some people use the flavor of the onions – to flavor the rest of the dish.
Well, sometimes I put green onions in the rest of the dish.
Okay. It does look fancy when it's sprinkled on the top, mm-hmm. especially if it's browned and all that kind of good stuff. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I think reducing portion sizing. Maybe not going with the whole can. Don't go with the whole can, or don't go with two cans. Mm-hmm. Try and go less than what you normally consume.
So cooks could also help with this. When you're cooking, just don't make such an enormous amount to begin with, and people will take less. That could happen.
Well.
Or be you could
definitely irritate some people at the dinner table. You didn't make enough for everybody to have all that they want. I think that's one way to force personal accountability to portion sizing, but I think it has to start with the person.
Yeah. So we have to be responsible when we're sitting
in our... Yeah, we have to be responsible for ourselves. And, you know, how many of us pile our plate up sky high and don't want to leave an empty plate so we consume the whole thing, but halfway through our meal,
you're full.
We're so full, and yet we continue to eat. Mm-hmm. And there are so many tricks to be able to create a feeling of fullness and yet not be able to consume the whole plate.
And
you know?
One of those tricks could be a glass of water before you eat.
One of those tricks can be that. One of them is just socializing, talking more during the course of your meal, putting your fork down in between each plate or in between each bite.
And another one is you ask the questions and then listen attentively to the response, and that takes up time.
Sure.
So you don't have to have so much food on your plate.
Yeah.
Besides, it's more fun. You get to find out all the gossip.
Start with less food on your plate and employ some of those ideas. Talk more. Put your fork down. Drink more water during the course of your food. And when your food is gone, see how you feel. If you're probably less likely to get up and reportion yourself rather than to finish the food that was on your plate already if you overportioned.
Yeah, you should eat the food that you put on your plate. So,
but start small. You can always go back for more, but the likelihood of you being full and wanting to go back for more is probably much less than overdoing the amount of food on your plate and then continuing to eat.
Besides, those holiday meals look so pretty on a plate.
Right.
And so, anyway, a lot of people have a cream corn casserole or corn and bell peppers. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on that?
The creaminess, another one? The word cream comes right out, yeah. Is it necessary to have the thick, big, rich cream in there? I don't know. You know, a lot of people use canned corn.
Mm-hmm.
Canned cream corn. Mm-hmm. You know, do you make your own cream corn?
I don't make cream corn. I actually use frozen corn and put bell peppers in it.
Okay.
And,
yeah. Well, you're the oddball.
I'm the oddball. You're right. I let somebody else bring the cream corn if we must have cream corn.
You know, there are always ways to reduce the fat intake or rather increase the nutritional value of a meal. And I think if people can employ some of those and make baby steps towards increasing their nutritional attentiveness, great. But I think in situations like this, when we're talking about holiday meal planning, holiday consumption, portion control is probably your best bet.
And that's up to you.
That is your own responsibility, yeah.
I always make sure that we have a tossed salad and big meals like that. Mm-hmm. And so that allows people to make those choices,
which is
much better for them. And I don't put salad dressing on my salads. I pass the salad dressing.
Good, yeah.
And that's what I do in a restaurant too. I ask for my dressing to be on the side because a lot of times they want to float those little green lettuce leaves in salad dressing.
Have some lettuce with your salad dressing.
You're right. Right. So that's the way we work it at our house. But there's a tradition of cranberry orange salad with pecans. Mm-hmm. And often that's made with gelatin. Mm-hmm. Well, long ago, I guess when we lived in New Jersey around the cranberry bogs, I learned that you don't have to put gelatin in that salad. Mm-hmm. You can make it more like a relish. Mm-hmm. And, just add a little of the sugar substitutes to it, and it works just fine.
Sure. I think the issue primarily with the gelatin is it's typically chock full of sugar. You know, mm-hmm. with the gelatin mm-hmm. comes the sugar. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a great alternative.
So it's a substitute of a traditional thing mm-hmm. that, I mean, my mother made that when I was a kid. So, mm-hmm. you know, we introduced it in our family, but I changed it a little bit. And I think I must have gotten that idea out of the newspaper when I lived in New Jersey.
And now you've created your own tradition.
Right.
And it's a more healthful tradition. And I think one of the big things that we need to keep in mind is that traditions aren't necessarily made to be steadfast. You know, there are always ways to change tradition to suit your personal needs.
And well, traditions tend to evolve over time. Mm-hmm. And as families change and as, you know, food processes have certainly changed in the 50 years I've been working
right.
as a mother in a family or a wife.
Mm-hmm.
And
I think that in this day and age, I don't know that we can afford to maintain the traditions that have gotten us to the place that we are as such an overweight nation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was
an amazing statistic you told me about. How many people?
It's baffling. 67% of the American population is overweight.
That caused for a pause in reflection.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing to
Over
ourselves?
Over 30% of those adults are obese.
And what's the difference in being overweight and being obese?
Oh, typically, overweightness is defined as being 20 pounds over ideal body weight. And that's a very ambiguous number, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Obesity and morbid obesity, the definition of morbid obesity is 100 pounds over ideal body weight.
Wow.
And we have a lot of obese people.
And some of them are so young.
Some of them are so young. Childhood obesity was on the rise hugely. It's kind of tapered off. It hasn't dropped, but it's tapered off in the last couple of years, specifically the last year. But still, it is a huge issue. And now we're, I hate to use this word, but we're infecting our youngsters with our ideas of nutrition. And it's terrible.
Maybe so in these family gatherings and friends for these special occasions, it can be a new adventure in doing some of the same things, but finding alternatives to cut the fat and the sugar and the salt.
I would be so excited if that was a general ideal. Yes.
You would be excited.
I would be very excited, yes.
Why, Patrick, we might be putting you out of business.
Hey, I tell you what, that would be an easy sacrifice.
Well, let's go with that. Let's go back to the breads and the yeast rolls for this dinner. You know, butter, bread, yeast rolls, of course.
Sure. I mean, yeast rolls, yeah. I mean, it's pretty much a must with respect to a Thanksgiving Christmas dinner. The bread or the butter, I don't know. Is it necessary? If you always consume full-fat butter, what's going to happen if you try reduced-fat butter?
Okay.
Do you really notice that big of a difference, especially if you're dipping your bread in gravy?
Oh,
you know?
I wouldn't do that, but anyway.
You know.
You don't need big hunks of butter, though.
No. Yeah. How many people take a bite of food and then take a bite of their bread? You know, are you really tasting the full richness of your full-fat butter if it's engorged with other types of flavors, you know?
So you might want to choose your flavors where you're at the table.
Sure.
A little bit. Water with lemon juice or cucumber slices in it?
Great idea. Gosh, how refreshing is that? That's great.
Yeah. So.
And sipping on that water. Typically, consuming water in conjunction with a meal for a healthy adult is not the best idea.
Really? Why?
Well, because we're diluting stomach acids and we're reducing the rate of gastric emptying.
Ah.
So that food stuff is going to stay in the stomach for a little bit longer to break itself down. The stomach is primarily responsible for breaking down proteins, thus peptic acid, peptide bonds. So if that food's staying in there, it's reducing the rate of metabolism. So if you're rich in gastric juices and then you consume and they're not diluted, then you're going to pass that food a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, if you're concerned about portion size and if you're concerned about overconsumption, then consuming
more water,
adequate amounts of water during the course of your meal, that's a great strategy to reduce overall consumption. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, glass of wine. We haven't talked about that at all.
Nothing wrong with that. Wine actually increases the absorption of proteins, the breakdown of proteins.
Oh, does it?
Sure.
Didn't realize that.
And red wine is, you know, you're getting a lot
antioxidants.
Of bioflavonoids, tocopherols. Yes, there's a ton of great stuff in red wine.
Mm-hmm. So
moderation, obviously, is a component of that. But, I think that's a very healthy way
to
have a glass of wine. Sure.
Have a glass of wine with a meal. Desserts. Oh, some people just live for the desserts at these meals.
Mm-hmm.
Usually at holiday time, it might be a fruitcake or it might be pies like pumpkin or apple or pecan or mincemeat pies.
Mm-hmm.
We probably should skip the ice cream when it's such a big meal, right?
If you decided to skip the ice cream, I wouldn't be upset with you, that's for sure. However, the bottom line is this. You know, people look forward to family gatherings. They associate their socialism with their food.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's great. And I think that's a very large component of this holiday environment. I'm not suggesting that people need to abstain altogether from all the foods that encompass this holiday environment. However, I would like to see that people are a little bit more aware of the amount of food that they consume, be a little bit more attentive to their portion sizing, and feel a little bit better about their holiday because they were a little bit more nutritionally attentive.
How about waiting a while to have dessert? Watch the football game or something.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. I mean, gosh, short of just feeling utterly sick because you just ate the house down at the table and then you add a slice of every pie or cake that we had, that doesn't feel good. Doesn't feel great at all.
You might enjoy it a little bit more.
Yeah. You might eat a little bit more because your stomach doesn't feel as full, but you sure would probably feel a little bit better.
Yeah. Coffee, tea.
It's
the same thing with water, basically.
Yeah, I don't see coffee or tea as being any form of an issue.
Yeah.
Unless you have recommendations from your physician to stay away from caffeinated beverages, I don't see that being a big
issue.
Just
enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since we live in the Southwest and tamales are such a big part of holidays, people that may not eat tamales that often certainly have them at Christmas, and it's a whole family tradition. Mm-hmm. You know, somebody has a certain job at the tamale table the day before. It's a social thing.
Very much social, yes. And very much rooted in tradition.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, in other parts of the country, it might be making the Christmas cookies as a group or whatever.
Right.
The traditional thing is really important, but what's also important is maybe tweaking some of those recipes. Believe me, people aren't going to know it.
Yeah. When I think of that kind of stuff, I think of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of these families with overweight children, and yet tradition ensues. And
that's important too.
What?
Tradition is important.
Tradition is important. However, I would think that most – I'm a father, and I would do anything for my child. And if it meant sacrificing my age-old traditions for the betterment of my child in his nutritional intake, that's what I will do.
So you would maybe work towards the idea of
tweaking. Tweaking. Yeah, I'm not asking to completely avoid it, to eradicate tradition. I'm asking that we make new traditions. We make new traditions in light of the issues that America is facing right now with respect to our health epidemic, our overweight epidemic. And it is at absolute epidemic proportions.
And so this holiday season might be a good time to look for some of those substitutes.
Sure.
And
maybe don't wait till the last minute. Don't wait till the night before to make your tamales and try and tweak or revamp the way in which you make your tamales.
Mm-hmm.
Try it 2 weeks ahead of time.
Right.
And trial and error will give you a product that you feel comfortable with your choice to break tradition and maybe tweak it a little bit. And maybe no one would even know.
You know, that brings to mind this whole idea, you know, the kitchen smells so good and the family and the friends come out to the kitchen and they want to start nibbling. So I usually make a veggie tray. But again, then there's dips that go with that.
Well, I think it's a great idea. I think it's a great idea to heighten metabolic efficiency prior to the main meal. I think it's a great idea for some to fill their stomachs with something nutritiously sound prior to the main meal, where they typically will go overboard. And there's always a way to reduce the impact of dips and be a little bit more nutritiously conscious about your dips.
Just look at what I'm putting in.
Sure.
And making sure
People don't notice the subtle changes that we make.
Right.
Most people don't. And that's what's really fun for me, is making a dish for a client that I know exactly the nutritional outline of it, and they're flabbergasted that it tastes as good as it does. And it's just enlightening them of different ways of cooking.
Of making it.
Yeah, so. Of making something, and they just weren't aware of it.
And a hint for those potlucks and things, I'm the one that takes something that's really good for you and, you know, people expect me to
and
do
how,
that.
And how many times do you get people remarking on, wow, this is so great, I didn't realize that. And you don't even have to tell them that you revamped it and it's so much more nutritiously sound than they had ever imagined.
Besides, I have something to eat then too.
Right, exactly.
Which is great.
Exactly.
Then there are the leftovers. You know, ideas, freezer, since I'm home with everybody. The freezer.
Well, if you're concerned that you're going to eat the house down after everybody's left because you have all the food, yeah, that's a great way to reduce the intrigue to do it. Sure, I think there's nothing wrong with, you know, some of those meals are so grandiose that they feed the family for
a week
afterwards.
And that's what holiday season is all about.
Giving.
Sharing, giving, and setting good examples for other family members. Patrick, thank you for sharing your expertise with the listeners of El Paso Primetime. And do have a safe and many memories during this holiday season. Listeners, Patrick's website is www.builtbypatrick.com. And he can be reached at
830-431-1242.
Thank you. El Paso Primetime is streamed, so you can listen in real time at www.ktep.org or click on past programs to hear archived shows. Thanks to Dennis Wu for tweaking the buttons during the interviews and getting the shows to you. I am grateful to the Rio Grande Cancer Foundation for their ongoing efforts in helping all of us to strive for good health. Make these holidays full of happy memories. I'm Florence Schwein. We'll be right back.